This is Kaylee Welch, and you are listening to the Bugle Weekly Easter Special.
I want to welcome you all to church today. My name is Pastor Jeffs, and I am so glad that you can be here with us in the Lord's house of worship. Easter is a day of joy and celebration. It is a day of liberation and of freedom. It is the day where we celebrate and remember that even though the Jews killed Jesus, he rose again. The fiat system is rapidly dying, but we do not have to die with it. As the central banking cartel is crumbling little by little, as each Bitcoin block ticks by, we have the opportunity to experience newfound freedom in the world of blockchain and cryptocurrency. Jesus did not die on the cross for us to go through life struggling to have fun staying poor. He resurrected from the grave in order for us to experience new life through becoming extraordinarily wealthy through meme coins. In recent weeks, our faith has been tested. President Trump, who is a godly man, started a trade war with China, which has hurt the price of crypto. But for those of us who had faith, we listened to President Trump's advice and bought the dip. Evil had thought it had prevailed when Jesus had died on the cross, and today evil thinks it has prevailed by making the price of Bitcoin go down in recent months. But President Trump has a plan to pump Bitcoin and all of our meme coins to the moon. Now let's worship the Lord, because the God candle is coming.
For my taxes, burdened by poverty and shame. Fiat was my prison till I cried out your name. I was seeing but was blind. I was looking but couldn't find. And you raised me up from the grave when I cried out your name. You pumped my bags so I could afford my taxes.
Special edition of the Bugle Weekly. It is Easter as I'm recording this, as you're listening to it. It is the day after Easter. I hope you had a good Easter. Hope you went to church with your family, went out to brunch afterwards, did the whole thing. If you didn't go to church, I hope you had a good day, a good rejuvenating freeing day. Easter's a fun holiday. It's a fun holiday because it's really a milestone. Like, you got out of winter. You survived winter. You're going into the spring. You're going into the summer. It's about to be really nice. You know, when you were a kid, Easter kind of marked the end of the school year, going into summer and into the time where you weren't chained to a desk and you could run around in the grass. It was a time where you started wearing shorts outside and you didn't have to bundle up in the cold as much anymore. For many people, Easter marks a time of hope, and spring marks a time of hope. As it's getting warmer, you're able to go outside, you're able to get more sunlight, you're able to connect with people more. One of the things about the winter, about the cold, is that it could be isolating. It'd be painful to go outside and smoke a cigarette in the cold, but as it starts warming up, it's enjoyable. It's really enjoyable to go outside and see the blooming trees, see things become alive again. And I hope that's what's happening for you. I hope you're feeling this stirring in your soul, this liveliness, this sense of hope. I know the world around us is crazy right now. It's really, really crazy. People are starting to kind of universally wake up to it. I think there's a lot of people, like the Bitcoin podcast listeners, figured out that the world was crazy a long time before, but now the general population's starting to figure it out. They're starting to feel the pain from inflation. They're starting to feel pain from just the geopolitical chaos, from all these world leaders making decisions that they have no control over. They're probably grappling with a sense of powerlessness. You've probably been dealing with that feeling for years and have found a way to manage it, whether it be through religion, whether it be through believing in yourself, whether it be through both. Hopefully you found a way to manage that feeling of realizing you're really not in control and maybe the world wasn't as safe as you'd been led to believe it was. If you haven't, I would encourage you to keep on listening to 40 Hours Bitcoin Podcast a week, and you'll get the entropy needed to probably find that sense of meaning and purpose in your life one way or another, to be able to navigate the difficult times ahead. Bitcoin, why so many people are religious about Bitcoin is because it's hope in a lot of ways for a lot of us. It's the context needed to understand that you're not just screwed. You're not just subjected to the whims of powerful individuals. You're not just destined to only get your content from PodConf. There really is hope for the individual. There's hope of preserving the wealth that you've generated, the value that you've generated to the world, and not have it just be completely siphoned away by inflation and taxation. That's the hope that Bitcoin provides, and it's a very powerful one. It's the hope that you could transact freely, that you can go and you can participate in illicit non-KYC cigarette transactions in a peer-to-peer manner, and nobody can stop you. That's a very like freeing and liberating and powerful position to be in. And coming, like living today in our society with the way that everything is, with the smoking bans, with just these like stupid trends of like content. You know, you turn on the TV and you watch something and it's just making you feel bad about yourself. And then you're bombarded with advertisements for a bunch of products that you don't really want, that are kind of useless, like, you know, the pharmaceuticals and stuff like that. It just breaks you down. It breaks down your spirit. It breaks down your sense of like hope and humanity. You know, you turn on the TV and it's just blasting you with fear. It's just blasting you with stuff that makes you want to be fearful. And then all the examples that are presented to us in pop culture are relatively negative. There's not there's not a ton of examples out there of what it means to be an actual sovereign individual. And then you escape into the World of Bitcoin podcast and you begin participating in the 40HPW. Now you don't have time to watch bullshit on Netflix all day because you're actually learning about the world and you're trying to navigate it. And you're not just listening to listen, you're listening to figure out ways of how to apply this stuff to your life. And you begin moving forward. And like, I think that's the feeling we all want to feel. We don't want to feel stuck. We don't want to be waiting for the world to just collapse, to be able to start life and to begin rebuilding. We don't have to wait for that. We can start moving forward. We can start building and we can start feeling better about ourselves, feeling better about our circumstances, feeling better about our families, our relationships. You can look in the mirror and instead of like kind of avoiding eye contact with yourself, you can look yourself in the eyes with pride because you're moving forward in life. You're moving forward in life. This is such a privileged position to be able to experience this. The majority of people do not experience this. And this is why it's so important not to really use the majority of people as a benchmark to compare yourself on whether you're doing well or not. They're the fiat standard and you're living on the Bitcoin standard. Why? They're on an entirely different planet. Like, you need to be comparing yourself to actual good examples in your life of people doing interesting things, people actually trying to push themselves forward, people trying to grow, people trying to build a better future instead of just extracting everything they can out of other people that are being productive, the looters in society. Right now I'm on vacation. I'm reading Ayn Rand's Atlas Shrugged again. It's a fun book. Every time I read it, I experience something slightly different. And these characters like Dagny Taggart and Howard Rourke are incredible people. And we need to look for those types of people in our lives to surround ourselves with. We need to look for those people, the people that move the world. And instead of casting scorn at them, we have to lift them up as examples for other people and tell your kids, hey, look at that person. They're legit. You know, have your daughters watching Lynn Alden interviews, hearing about the broken money, seeing that she's hot, seeing her as an example of what it looks like to live as a sentient human being, as somebody to applaud. As an example, have your sons, have them listening to Bitcoin podcasters out there. Hopefully they're listening to, if you're a father, hopefully you've started a Bitcoin podcast and then your son can listen to your Bitcoin podcast, even after you die. If that's a fear, you know, that's something we all have to consider is leaving something behind for our kids to consume after we're dead, that they can be connected to you, that you've generated years and hours and hours and hours worth of Bitcoin podcasts where they can stay connected to you after you're dead. What an incredible, incredible thing to gift your children, your years and years of Bitcoin podcasts. We need hope. And Easter is the holiday of hope. Christmas is too. I would say Easter's more significant in the Christian world, spiritually, than Christmas is. Because it's really about the day that everything happened that makes Christianity what it is. Christianity wouldn't even be a religion had Jesus not died on the cross and risen again. It would have been, I don't know, just like a story. Jesus wouldn't have been significant like he is. He would have been another prophet, but it's the one thing that separates him from all the other prophets in Christianity. And that's why it's such a big day. That's why people that don't go to church at all go to church on Easter. Because it's the day. It's the day in Christianity. You might not be a Christian. That's okay. The world is very uncertain. It's very uncertain. It's hard to tell what is true because you're getting so many different conflicting messages. A lot of people just want to fall in to something greater than themselves, to have faith in something, to be married to some sort of dogma that brings clarity in a world that doesn't have very much clarity, into a very confusing, chaotic, and just strange mosh pit of nonsense. Like most of what's going on in our world is, it's nonsensical and it's frustrating and it wears you down. Your entire life, your body's just degrading. You're just getting worn out. But for your soul, for your spirit, that doesn't have to be the case. You don't necessarily need dogma in order for your spirit and for your soul to grow and to flourish. For me, smoking cigarettes are a big part of treating my soul. And why that is because I see it as sticking up my middle finger to the man. The man tells me that cigarettes are going to kill me. It tells me that smoking cigarettes is offensive. They tell me that I am stupid because I'm engaging in this activity of harming myself. But the reality is that going along with them blindly is incredibly harmful to myself. It means I have to sacrifice using my brain. I have to accept their dogma. I have to surrender to their authority and trust them. And they don't deserve the trust. They have, if anything, in the last few years, just shown that they don't deserve any trust whatsoever. And so when I stand there and I smoke a cigarette, I feel pretty good about myself. And they look at me with scorn, and they do. They look at me at scorn, and they, in their heads, they're thinking, oh, he's not 25 feet away from the door. He's too close, and, I have to smell it. And, I see this. Like, sometimes people walk by me, and they take their shirts, and they put it over their nose, and they look all offended by the fact that I'm smoking a cigarette. And I just chuckle to myself. I chuckle to myself because in that act, I'm saying, I'm sticking up my middle finger to these guys, to the man. And I'm saying, I'm going to do something because I'm using my brain and I'm evaluating the risks of doing something that you say is incredibly dangerous. And I'm actually thinking about for myself. I'm not just taking what they're telling me blindly as fact. Bitcoin has allowed me to do that because Bitcoin gave me the context of a whole entirely different world outside of the reality that they have constructed for me to live in. It's a world of that can be about self-empowerment. Now, there's a lot of people out there that are looking to take that away from the people using Bitcoin. They want to make Bitcoin about compliance. This is PodConf that I'm talking about. The Podcast Conference Industrial Complex. They want to make Bitcoin about compliance. They want to make it about fitting into the system and serving the system. Bitcoin is a tool to allow you to comply and to serve the system. You buy Bitcoin and order to be able to afford your taxes. Bitcoin, to me, it's not about that. And if you're listening to this podcast, it is probably not about that for you either. I don't want to comply with these looters. I'm reading Atlas Shrugged, and it's great. Like, one of the reasons why the book's so great is because it really gives you the context of just how pathetic a lot of these people are that just want to sit there on the sidelines and they want to steal from you. Like, all the people in Washington, the weaker participants in industry, Dr. Stradler, I might've gotten his name wrong, but whatever, we'll just continue. I'm not going to look it up. Dr. Stradler you know, in the Science Institute, they want to restrict. So Hank Reardon, this industrialist, one of the main characters of the story, the really great character. So one of the things he did is he developed a new form, a new metal. It's called Reardon steel. And Reardon steel is a significant improvement on regular steel. What it allows for is for things to be built. It's way stronger. It's way lighter. It's just overall better. But everybody freaks out about it, and they say, oh, it's not safe. You can't use it. And the government comes in, and they're like, if this, our economy is in bad shape, and if this comes to market, it's going to challenge the entire economy. It's going to put people out of business because they're dealing with inferior products. And this is such a weak attitude, and we see it over and over again. We see the subsidies in our economy, the way that seed oils are subsidized, and the farmers, and you know, the American cars. And what always happens at the end of the day is when things are subsidized, an inferior product is created for the market. Because market competition causes people to compete with each other to try and make a better product. It's very like basics. If you read Economics in One Lesson, that's a good book. You've probably been told to read that if you listen to 40HPW, but it just outlines it. It outlines how tariffs and how subsidies are harmful. But this is the consensus amongst the quote unquote experts, the people resting on their credentials, the people flaunting their credentials without really keeping up with the times, without staying on the ball, the people that refuse, they scoff at you if you suggest that you should listen to 40 hours of Bitcoin podcast a week. They just scoff at you, like Mike Brock did to me in the debate. They believe in subsidies. They believe in these controls in the economy. And it's because they have really low opinions of themselves. And it's because they're not very exceptional people. They don't have confidence in themselves to be able to compete in the open market with other people. And so what they have to do is they have to act as gatekeepers. To do anything productive, you have to go out there and ask somebody somewhere for permission to do it. That's the system that they've created. If you truly have a revolutionary product, if it's too revolutionary, they're going to try and squash it in the same way that these characters in Atlas Shrugged tried to squash Reardon's steel and keep it from happening. So the Science Institute goes and approaches Hank Reardon, and they ask him how much he would allow them to pay them in order to outright buy the rights to Reardon steel so it never comes to market. And of course he says, I'm not interested. And they say, well, you could get really rich right now. Why would you want to continue to struggle and toil and sell things at a low margin over and over again for years when you could make way more money by just selling us the rights? And his answer to them was, because it's mine. This is mine. What a powerful statement. What a powerful statement. And I think that's a statement that we all have to make. We all have to have that thing in our lives. For me, it's the Bugle. We all have to have the thing in our lives that's ours. Most people out there, they spend their whole lives working for somebody else to build something for somebody else. And that's fine. That's fine if you have a day job. You got to earn a living. You know, a lot of people with families, they need health insurance. They need to be a part of this system in some way or another. But the thing that they fail to do is they fail to build anything that's just theirs. That's self-gratifying, that's empowering, like, when I'm working on the Bugle, I feel good. And it's actually something that rejuvenates me. It helps me feel excited about life. It helps me feel motivated. It helps me to feel present. It helps me to just feel better about myself when I can stand taller as a result of it. And the reason why is because it's mine. And so when somebody inevitably comes and they say, hey, I want to buy it, I plan on having a similar conversation as Hank Reardon did with the Science Institute. We've chosen to go a harder direction with this thing. We have chosen to go the route of value for value. And the reason why is because I think it's better. I think it's better than being a marketing agency for somebody else's product that's probably funded by venture capitalists, which, you know, in many ways are the looters. I was at a Bitcoin conference a few years ago, and I heard a really interesting debate between Jimmy Song and Mike Jarmez from Lightning Labs. And it was all on whether or not you should take VC money. And I think Mike's a good guy. I think he's got good intentions. You know, Jimmy Song came at him pretty hard and, you know, essentially said that the VCs are leeches on the Bitcoin industry, that they want to just come in and they want to control. And what he essentially was describing and talking about was kind of what I'm describing and talking about is this idea of doing something for yourself, something meaningful. And like when you allow a lot of people in that have control over your vision and over your decision-making powers, when you dilute yourself, it's not really yours anymore, which is part of the reason why the value for value, just that these platforms exist is so important. It's so important because you, audience, you're really what makes it happen. You're what allows me to do this. You're what allows me to bring cartons of cigarettes home to my family to keep everybody properly supplied with nicotine. Product that I'm selling. We've got some products on Orange Label. We just partnered with them doing Alpha Protocol. So now you can buy creatine from us. We're capitalizing on the creatine meme. Something I wanted to do for a little bit, but it kind of got ramped up as everybody started posting about creatine. We're selling some products there, but you know why we're selling those products is to support this, to support the content. Because the content is our product at the Bugle. It's what allows us to do what we do. When you boost us on Fountain, it's what allows us to do what we're doing. The higher value product that we can provide, I think the higher that people want to support us. And so that's always the goal. The goal is not necessarily to swindle people out of their hard-earned Bitcoin, but to make a product so compelling that that people want to see it succeed. They want to see us continue to grow, to continue to get better. And we have gotten tremendously better. We've brought more people into the mix. We've got people doing all sorts of stuff. If you didn't get a chance to check out Ginger B. Stiffen's article about the cargo shorts, the inseams and the shorts, that was a good one. But that's one of the things like I really want to do with this platform, with the Bugle, is to create a platform for people to really be able to express themselves freely in the same way that I'm able to. And bringing Rod into the mix has been great to just see him grow and develop as a journalist. And I mean, he's absolutely fantastic. Absolutely, absolutely hilarious. When I get back from vacation next week, when I finish Atlas Shrugged, I'm looking forward to listening to 40 Hours Bitcoin podcast a week, to listening to Rod's episode with Discovering Bitcoin. I haven't been able to listen to the Rock Paper Bitcoin one because I'm on vacation, but we just went on their show as well. But yeah, the message of Jesus, the message of the resurrection. I didn't really mean for this to be a church sermon, but I mean, I guess that's just what inevitably happens when you're celebrating a holiday like this, is the message of Jesus. He's such an interesting figure. You know, if you go and you read the Bible and you read about him, he was not PodConf approved. That was very clear. He liked to stir the pot, and he wasn't trying to adapt his message to the culture around him at all. He was just flipping tables. He was causing a mess. You know, people were getting angry at him because he was healing blind people. He was just confusing people, breaking their brains. He was not willing to compromise at all. At all. But the death and the resurrection, you know, and this message that was presented to people was that they weren't ruled by their shortcomings, and that they were actually free, and that they could live in that freedom. What a powerful message. What a powerful message. It wasn't about complying with the system. It wasn't about complying with the world around you. It was about rising above it. I think it's a message, whether you're Christian or not, that we can all be inspired by it, that we can all relate to. If you try and live your life based on conventional wisdom, you're going to be unhappy. What the Bible talks about in the New Testament, it's a story of Jesus. It's a story like Atlas Shrugged, in the sense that it provides context and contrast between the powers that be, the Pharisees, the Romans, you know, all these people that just were so hell-bent on controlling people. They were so, like, that's all they really cared about. They were just cared about control. They cared about rules. They cared about control. They cared about taxes. They cared about all these things in order to keep, to make people behave a certain way, to think a certain way, to look a certain way, to behave a certain way. And what Jesus came along and showed was he just flipped it all upside down. Like, you know, the most influential person in human history was born in a manger. Was not born in a palace. Was not born into great wealth. Was a carpenter. And I would say that being a carpenter in many ways is like being a blue collar worker. He didn't go to Harvard or Oxford or the famous religious schools or whatever at the time. The equivalent of Harvard or Oxford at the time. It was just a guy that walked around other guys, that hung out with prostitutes, that hung out with normal people. And we just did an interview with John Seth. And one of the things I like about John Seth and I liked about Bitcoin Uncensored was that they interviewed people that were using Bitcoin, just like normal people, you know, at a time that was, you know, PodConf wasn't as developed, but there definitely was kind of like a PodConf type attitude of like, let's make things look a certain way. Let's make Bitcoin look clean and compliant so that, you know, all the suits would accept it. You know, he's run around in orgies interviewing people. I mean, that's pretty funny, but like, you know, talk of sex workers, talking about like drivers of sex workers that use Bitcoin. Normal people. This is one of the challenges that PodConf throws in front of all of us. They offer us fame. They offer us gratification. They offer you money in order to influence you, try and get you to be a certain way, say the same things as everybody else, to think the same things. And if you get out of line, there's going to be a lot of pressure on you. I think it's important to live by principles. You pick the principles, and sometimes you'll have overlaps with PodConf and people in PodConf, and you get along with them. You don't have to necessarily be at war with everything and everyone. I don't think that's productive, to just be violently lashing out at the world. Like, you have to be calculated. And when you see something that you disagree with, you stand up and you say something about it. But the thing about PodConf is what they try and get you to do is they try and get you to surrender your principles. Just take them and throw them out the window. You LARP as having principles. You LARP with this idea of being Bitcoin only. But nobody's really Bitcoin only. everybody shit coins in one way or another. Before the cross, before God, we're all shit coiners. Do you have a bank account? Did you use USDT on Tron? Did you play slots that one time? Did you smoke a menthol cigarette? Do you vape? Do you do Zins? Did you eat seed oils? We're all shit coiners. In the eyes of God, we're all shit coiners. What Podkoff tries to do is they try to get you to present as if you have principles and to go on these moral crusades that don't really matter. They try to suck you into groupthink. They try to suck you into peer pressure and trends. And in doing that, they try to get you to turn your brain off, because instead of being an individual, now you're part of a group, you're part of a collective. And like, we need friends. I don't really believe in being like these lone wolves. I don't think it's healthy or productive. We need people around us that build us up. We need people around us that encourage us, that know who we are. I think that's something that we all need. I think we're social creatures, but that doesn't necessarily mean that we have to be tribal and turn our brains off. We just have to find people similar to us with similar values. And I think one of the most important values, it's not necessarily, you know, if you believe everything, you have the same view on economics, you have the same view on Bitcoin, you have the same view on relationships or diet or, you know, all of these kind of superficial things. I don't think we have to be too focused on the superficial stuff, though, you know, to some degree it matters a little bit. Like, you have to have some sort of overlapping interest so that way you can actually relate to the other person. But there's something deeper. And like, if you're an actual individualist that believes in using your brain, then that's the thing that's ultimately important to look for in others, that you want to connect to and relate with. Do they have the capacity to use their brains? Do they value using your brain over being a part of the group? I think that's the key right there. I think that is the key to success. And that's why I'm interested in interviewing a bunch of people that are different than me. And I'm interested in interacting with people that are different than me, but that we have similar values. Like, I went on the Outlaw Crypto podcast. A guy that, you know, tries to promote privacy coins and, you know, sees respect for Bitcoin, but really isn't into it. In the same way that he's into Monero and these other privacy coins, like maybe Zcash or, you know, whatever else there is. We have different philosophies on life and different philosophies on the world. But it seems like he's an individual that's questioning things. And I've got respect for that. You know, somebody that's out there, you know, doing a podcast, talking about these things, trying to get people to actually engage in using these tools. I've got respect for that. I've got a lot more respect for that than, you know, a lot of these people that are Bitcoin only, but they got their brains turned off. They're part of the group. They're part of the tribe. They're submitting everybody to the purity test. And we look at a lot of these Bitcoin maximalists, and I think, you know, in the context of Easter, one of the things we have to ask ourselves, and like one of the lessons, you know, that we can take away from the Bible looking at is, you know, asking ourselves, are we the Pharisees or are we, you know, the disciple? Like, where do we fit into this story? Where do we fit in this story? The Pharisees were people that turned their brains off, that were part of the group thing. They valued this rigid dogma over the truth. Doesn't mean that everything that they were saying was false. But in the biblical Easter story, the Pharisees were the bad guys. They were the ones that championed killing the Son of God. If we're going to be intellectually honest, we have to consider and ask ourselves, are we these people? Are we the bad guys or are we the good guys? And how do we know if we're the bad guys or the good guys? And that's where stories like Atlas Shrugged, stories like the Easter story come into play. Is they provide context for us to understand, are we, like, who are the good and the bad guys? They have these themes in it. Jesus preached the idea of liberation and freedom. The Pharisees preached servitude and compliance. You were bound by rules, and Jesus taught that you're free of the rules. What a staunch contrast. What a staunch contrast. Oh, well, I hope you had a good Easter with your family. I know my family had good. One of the things I love to do is so funny. If you ever get the chance to do this, it's one of the things that I do, you know, kids love Easter egg hunts. So we took our son, my wife and I, we took him to an Easter egg hunt. And one of the things I did is I put a bunch of cigarettes in all the Easter eggs and then proceeded to watch the parents freak out as their kids were pulling cigarettes out of the Easter eggs. It was great. It was really, really funny. They all looked at me and they're like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "Well, you know, my family started me smoking when I was 6 years old, and look at me. I'm the John Galt of journalism. I'm doing pretty great today. Doing pretty great today." But yeah, after the Easter egg hunt, we went out to brunch. Brunch is always fun. It's always great on Easter morning. Got a chicken fried steak. Not the best for you. It was dabbled up with seed oils. Guess that makes me a shitcoiner. I failed in the eyes of the Pharisees. I ate seed oils. But yeah, we went out to brunch. And had a good time. I had a good time with the family. We spent good quality time together. And I was able to be present with them. Because I'm a man that feels secure in myself. I feel good about what I'm doing. I'm not trying to live into somebody's idea of who I should be. I have chosen a path for myself. And I'm walking it. And I'm moving forward. I'm not all bummed out by all the rest of the world thinking differently than me and trying to convince everybody else to think like I do. That's all a distraction. If you're really secure in what you believe, then you realize there's going to be consequences for what you believe. Hopefully positive consequences, that you feel good about yourself and you have success in your life and you're moving forward. And then other people have to reap the consequences of their own actions and what they're choosing to do. And if they're actually wrong, that there's going to be negative repercussions for that. And what you can exist as an example, you could be an example to these poor people that have their brains turn off and trust the TV and don't listen to 40 hours of Bitcoin podcasts a week or supplement creatine or smoke cigarettes. You can be an example. You can be jacked. You can be happy. You can have a happy relationship. You can be dropping fire on your own Bitcoin podcast. You could be earning Bitcoin in a value for value economy. You don't have to be just like submitting to the whims of PodConf and compliance. You'd be a dangerous individual, dangerous to the establishment. You can look the people that are destroying our society. You can stick your middle finger up and you can still have a good time. You don't even need to give them power over yourself. They're not the ones in control. You're the one in control. You have the power. What a great feeling. What a great example to offer the world. And then not only that, you can identify other people out there like you that feel good about themselves. You make friends with people. Have real meaningful relationships and talk about things more important than sports ball or the weather or you know, whatever Trump, the TV said Trump is doing. You can actually have depth to your relationships. This is what was so funny about my debate with Mike Brock. I don't know how much longer I want to talk about this, but you know, it was just like, it was great context of like, you know, he thought it was astounding that I was talking about this idea that you should focus on your own self-interest, that the greater good and that altruism's a lie. He was just astounded by that. And just look at him. Just look how pathetic he was. The world needs to see those types of conversations. They need to see the contrast between those that are actually have confidence. And there's a difference between being extremely egotistical and narcissistic and being self-interested and having confidence in yourself. And like you know that you're a competent individual. You know you have actual humility. You have an accurate depiction of who you are and what you're capable of. You have a list of accomplishments which you can stand on and feel good about. You've built things for yourself. Ego and narcissism, that's all insecurity. That's the polar opposite. That's not what I'm advocating for. I'm not advocating for thinking you're the smartest person in the world and being a compulsive liar and, you know, doing things like that and just like screwing people over. No. If you actually have self-confidence and your own self-interest, you know you don't need to screw people over because you can produce things of value. You don't have to steal from people. You don't have to mislead them and get them to buy into something that, you know, is vaporware, is worthless. I think that's what we're doing with the Bugle. We're not trying to get you to buy into vaporware. We're trying to produce something valuable. And I think it is valuable. It's valuable to me. I'm enjoying this. And other people are finding it valuable. And I think that's one of the liberating things is like, why are we hitting on all cylinders and we're putting out good stuff? It's because I think we, you know, like I know for myself, I find it valuable. It's valuable to me. I enjoy listening to our podcast. I enjoy the content. I think Rod feels the same way. I don't really want to speak for him, but I think he feels the same way. I know Kaylee does. Kaylee feels really proud of what she's been able to help us accomplish. She feels proud that she's smoking hot, that she's not fat, smoking cigarettes, that she's able to competently drive drunk. Feels good. But anyways, let's get into the boost for this week. Or before we get that, go check out our shirts or clothing on orangelabel.co.co. Go check it out. 40 HPW t-shirts. They're great. If you're going to Vegas and you're doxing yourself to all the spooks out there, like Ron and I are, make sure to grab some swag and show everybody else at the conference that you're a 40 HPW listener. Check out the Comply line. I'll be repping some Comply gear. But yeah, let's get into the boost. Shadrach, 10,093 sats. It's huge boost. I have not only afforded taxes, but I completely filed them by the end of the episode. That being said, I should probably listen again. Heart cigarette, hashtag 40 HPW headphones emoji. Well, thank you, Shadrach. I'm glad you're able to afford taxes. It's one of the beautiful things that Bitcoin can allow us to do for multiple reasons, but I don't want to get into that because I know the spooks listen to this episode too. So you gotta sometimes, whatever. Oh, that's a tangent I don't want to get into. But anyways, thank you for the boost. 10,000 sats. That's like 10 cigarettes at this exchange rate. Jason C., the co-host of Off the Chain, I believe it is, the Fish podcast that him and Fundamentals do, or On the Chain, Back on the Chain. Gosh, they're going to correct me again. But anyways, it's a good podcast. They're talking about Fish. They talk about the Bugle a lot. Fundamentals, big fan of ours. And it seems like he bugle pill Jason C. 4,200 sats. Dear Rod and Dick, solid content these last two episodes, including Dick's commentary following his recent debate. I was also amazed by Brock's inability to differentiate selfishness from self-interest. We can share for and relate to others only to the extent that we can care for and relate to ourselves first and foremost. Sincerely, Jason. It's very, very basic stuff. And one of the reasons why, you know, Mike Brock, he kept on asking me why I was treating him like a 14-year-old. It's like, well, because you're not considering things from the most basic first principles. You're not willing to go to the very beginning of the argument, and this is the problem that a lot of people make, is they build their entire worldviews built on faulty assumptions. You know, the Bible is described as building a house on sand. Jesus tells us to build houses on solid ground, not shifting sand. And in order to do that, you have to go back to the very basics. You have to go back to the foundational arguments to challenge assumptions. We always have to challenge assumptions. That's one of the reasons why I like hanging out with people that think differently than me, is because it gives me entropy in my life. They challenge me on my assumptions on a regular basis. And if you're actually building your worldview and your opinions and your values on top of something solid, then challenges aren't troublesome. It just continues to strengthen your conviction in the things that you're doing and the things that you're believing in. It shouldn't be seen as a challenge. Like, how dare you question this very basic thing that I believe in? It kind of gets annoying sometimes, like, you know, if people are wanting to challenge me on my cigarette smoking, like, it's just like, okay, dude, you're annoying. You know, but like, I welcome it every once in a while because it makes me think about it. You know, like, I think we constantly have to reevaluate the things that we're doing and think about them. It's a productive thing to do. It's a helpful thing to do. What's unhelpful is just getting stuck in the motions over and over again. Because, like, the thing is if you go the wrong direction, you might blink and 20 years later, you just realize you wasted a bunch of time doing things that weren't valuable to you, that didn't matter to you, that accomplished nothing, and you're not any closer to where you wanted to be. That's a real thing that I think we all have to consider and be afraid of, you know, and it is why I'm a big believer in this idea of, you know, of objectivism and Randy and philosophy, really, like, believing in yourself, is because I don't want to be like that. I don't want to go, like, I've already done that in my life. You know what I mean? I've already wasted time working for the man. I talk about every once in a while my time in the traditional media establishment, and it just sucked. It was soul sucking. Why would I want to do that ever again in my life? Why would I want to set an example for my son of how to be just a servile shell of my potential? I don't want to do that. Next boost from Shatteract, 1,093 sats. Poignant, topical, robust, and balanced. That's what real journalism smells like. Cigarette emoji, hashtag 40HPW. Thank you. Blizzo, 1,010 sats. Mike Brock needs to pump his Bitcoin podcast hours up. Mike Brock can do whatever he wants. He can have fun staying poor for all I care about. Maggie, 1,000 sats. Maggie Morris, one of her very talented Beagle staff members, meant to boost 1,700 sats out of respect. Thank you. I'm not really sure what that means, but it looks like Maggie actually double boosted 1,000 sats, so above the 1,700 sat mark, 2,000 sats for Maggie. Really appreciate it. Jason C. again, 420 sats. Jason says, I sometimes forget the level of understanding that can only come from 40HPW. The Beagle Weekly has been a cornerstone of my 40HPW training since the first episode. No noise, only signal. Thank you, Jason. Got 5 likes on Noster. Pink Monkey, 500 sats. No comment. Anonymous says, I can't see who this is. It just says anonymous. Anonymous, 420 sats. This is the most thermodynamically sound high signal content I've ever had the pleasure of engaging with all week. Glad to hear that. Glad to hear you enjoyed it. 300 sats from BTC on board. Salute emoji, thumbs up, lightning fire. 177 sats again from Maggie. Says, I'm interested in hearing your take. Is Richard Dasha or Rodeo Anna or the other way around? It's hard one to call. Thank you. I have no idea what that means, Maggie. But if you message me, I'll try and explain if you clarify a little bit what you mean. Anyways, I want to thank everybody for tuning into this special edition of the Beagle Weekly, the Beagle Easter special. And I think Pastor Jeff's is kind of a tool. And I think his theology, I think, is rather flawed. He's a shit coiner. He believes the God pump is happening. I think he would definitely, if he wasn't so like shit coin adjacent, I think PodConf would be, friendlier with him. But I think one of the things he's right on is I do think the pump is coming. Could feel it in my bones. It's been a long bear market And you could argue that we're in a bull market. You know, Bitcoin has pumped pretty dramatically from the lows a couple of years ago. But, you know, it's going up, and it is going to continue to go up because of people starting Bitcoin podcasts. Bitcoin podcast power law is real, folks. It's real. Anyways, I want to thank you again for tuning in. Thank you to all the boosters. Check out our merch. Shill the podcast. Go bugle pill somebody. Go tell somebody about the Beagle. Tell them what we're up to. Thanks for tuning in.
Before you spoke the world in motion, you had a mean close to your heart. I will show you my devotion by trusting you, not the bearish chart. You've always pumped.